All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. We are clearly not in the office today, so there's that.
We hope that you're social distancing.
Right. We hope that your social distancing / quarantine is going the best that it possibly can, and that everybody around you is healthy, and hopefully you're not sick with any of this stuff. I don't even know what to say anymore. Stuff. We're going with just, stuff. So before we get into this, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and throw in that thumbs up and making sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so. We certainly appreciate that, and we're doing our best to bring you some more content as we go. And I guess before we get into it, if you don't know me, I'm Scott from Koenig. With me is Nick from Koenig. Yeah, you can see him. He's over there across the pond in Brooklyn. And
This is interesting to do because we're literally like 60 miles apart or something like that.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing because we have come so far as a society technologically, as far as being technologically dependent in just a few short weeks. You know, everybody's relying on a lot of intercommunication technology, you know, different iPad techniques and different things. And the work from home model has really kicked into high gear. So even people that maybe weren't accustomed to it before, maybe their companies didn't really go for it, now all of a sudden are
primed.
Yeah, because they have to for the most part. Yeah. So so we're going to kind of go right into topic for today. And we're going to kind of touch on the piece of content that we actually just dropped on Friday.
Right.
We don't usually do that. But there's a reason for
usually it's the other way around. Usually we'll be like we'll do the podcast on it, and then we'll be like, oh, you know, we'll do a video explaining it later. We beat ourselves to the punch this time. So we actually did the video first, and then here we are with the podcast.
Right. Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, Nick's exactly right. We do a podcast, and then we turn it into a piece of content. Not always, but a lot of the times. And we try to condense it and shorten it and take a conversation and make it a little bit more – you know, direct to the point. This one's a little bit different. And the reason is because I think that the content this time is very different. You know, people, the term thread engagement is not a household term, especially even if you're a wheel and tire person, even if you have gone through a tremendous amount of sets of different wheels and you feel that you know offsets and you know, different wheel knowledge. If you know all that stuff, it's very, very probable that you do not know the term thread engagement. It's also extremely probable that you don't understand how extremely important thread engagement is. And that's kind of why we were like, you know what, let's do a podcast on it for anybody that's looking for a little bit more in-depth, you know, discussion on it. Right. Right. So, you know, Nick actually did the thread engagement video. Do you want to go ahead and kind of say, you know, give the people what the thread engagement is?
Let's hope I don't butcher this
explanation. Well, I'm right here, Nick. I mean,
It only took 20 takes to get it right the first time.
That's right.
Thread engagement, it's pretty much how much thread of the lug nut you get onto your stud. You need to get proper thread engagement in order to maintain the proper clamping force in order to hold the wheel down to the car. So, and then we went through ways on how to determine that in the video by like, how do I know how much based off of like the lug nut I have and like the measurement and the diameter and all that stuff.
Right.
Nick's exactly right.
So let's back that up and kind of review what Nick just said. It is thread engagement is how much a lug nut or a lug nut threads onto a stud or a lug bolt
or a bolt goes into the hub, right?
Of a vehicle. You know, usually it's a rotor mounting surface on a German car if they use a lug bolt. But where this importance is, and we'll get there in a second, it does not change the clamping force of the wheel to the car. But, you know, there becomes a point where a lug nut or a lug bolt, if it doesn't have enough thread engagement where the thread is actually, you know, kind of all around the lug nut or into the lug bolt is into the hub enough, that that thread can actually have, you know, it's well, because what ends up happening is you're putting a lot of stress on just a few threads rather than evenly distributing that
across
force.
All of them.
Exactly right. So right. What ends up happening is you could potentially run into an issue where fatigue and different things, and, you know, lug nuts, the one thing that's very difficult when you go to get lug nuts is you may realize that they're not all equally the same. We point that out in the video that we released on Friday. And if you haven't seen it yet, please head over to our YouTube channel and check it out. This is one of those ones that I'll even go as far to say that I almost feel that the video is borderline a PSA. You know, it's almost borderline a public service announcement, because this is something that is neglected. And when this is neglected, you can have a catastrophic failure almost without warning. And, right. You know, that's the piece that I think some people miss with thread engagement, is that, you know, when you have the wrong lug nuts, many times, you know, most aftermarket wheels are cone seat lug nuts, and then there's a ball seat, which usually come on certain factory wheels. So let's say you use the wrong seat lug nut on a wheel. You put
it's
a ball seat on.
Flush.
Right. And so eventually what will happen is that wheel will wobble off the car. A lot of times when that happens, you know, you'll get a vibration, a thing, you know, before the wheel actually physically leaves the car.
Yeah, you'll feel it. It's not like it's just you're going to be driving and it's just going to happen. Like, you'll notice something's off when you're actually driving.
For the most part. I mean, that's so I don't quote us on that. But for the most part, if that happens, you know, there's some sort of, you know, thread engagement. When a failure becomes massive, it's just over. The wheel's gone. Like, it generally doesn't. Whatever. And so in lug nuts, you know, we pointed out in the video that that lug nuts are not all created equal. And one of the points that we pointed out was actually where the thread pitch starts on the lug nut or lug bolt. You might notice that there's a little bit of recess and they start a little bit more up on the lug nut.
Right. Some start like all the way at the beginning. Other ones, like, you have a little bit.
It may start right
the
at the bottom.
Yeah,
exactly. So what proper thread engagement do you need? To make sure you have proper thread engagement, you want to essentially have the diameter of the lug bolt or the stud. So if you have a 12 millimeter stud, you want to be able to have at least 12 millimeters of thread engagement, right? Which is about half an inch. If you have a 14 millimeter stud, you want 14 millimeters, etc. So the one thing that you need to understand is that how do you figure that out, right? We've had people that said, you know, we'll say to them, you know, it should be fine. Just make sure you have the proper thread engagement. And their answer back is, how do I know? And so what we basically walk through in the video is how you can take a lug nut or a lug bolt and put a dab. You can use a dot on a magic marker. You can use a dot of whiteout. You can use a touch of marker paint, whatever you want to use on the lug nut. And what you do is you take the diameter of the lug nut and you divide it by the thread pitch. So if it's a – yeah.
If it's 12 by 1.5, let's say, you divide 12 by 1.5, and I think it came out to what, like 7 or 8 turns or something like that?
Yeah, it's about 7.5 to 8 turns.
Yeah, something like that. So that's how many turns you would want to get of the lug nut onto the stud.
Right, exactly. And so when you have that proper thread engagement, everything else you have after that is a plus. And so in a minute we'll speak about what kind of things would endanger thread engagement, or what kind of things would make it so that you don't have proper thread engagement, right?
Right.
But so the goal here is to make sure that the clamping force is evenly distributed in the thread of the lug nut, and we're using as many of the threads as possible to distribute that clamping force that's the lug nut's trying to do. So now, again, lug nuts are not all created equal. We talked about threads starting in a certain place, but lug nuts are not always made out of the same material. There's forged lug nuts, titanium lug nuts. There are aluminum lug nuts. You have steel lug nuts. So you have these different materials, and how they respond to different forces and use and reuse and constant reuse, especially for like a track person, that right. all is going to factor in. And so the more threads you have, the more beneficial you essentially would have to making sure that you are less likely to experience a failure on that.
So right? I was filming today in the garage, and I found something that I think would be a perfect example of what you just said of, you know, okay. how lug nuts can wear down after like constant reuse and take it off and tighten like a million times, you know.
Right.
And I think it would be a perfect example because the cone seat on it was actually like very worn down. And it was almost like to the point where like it started like warping inward. And I don't even think that one came off my car. I think it came off like somebody else's car. But I remember looking at it and I was like, wow, this is really warped. Like that would be a perfect example. Maybe I'll put like a photo or something of it.
Yeah. I mean, but, the seat usually isn't where the issue for failure happens. It's usually actually in the threads, of the lug nut. But the best example I can think of is, you know, for a while, on my car, I had an open end aluminum racing lug nut.
Right.
And what ended up happening is because of constant put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off. I mean, of course, I use a torque wrench a lot, but, you know, even from taking them off, you know, using impact gun to take them off a lot of times, the aluminum just starts to fatigue. And so you would right. start to randomly see a thread actually come out of the lug nut. Like, that's the time they need to go. I switched, you know, they were great in as far as weight. They were super lightweight. But what I did was I actually switched to a Gorilla lug nut, and it's a forged steel lug nut. Is it heavier? Absolutely.
But it's also stronger.
Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly reliable. It's an open ended lug nut. I have extended studs on my car, so I require an open ended lug nut. I have not had any problem with fatigue on this lug nut at all.
So the aluminum lug nut you had before, and I'm asking because this is what happened to the lug nut that I was just talking about that I found in the garage. So when you said it fatigued, do you mean like at the bottom, like where the thread started, right?
Well, for me, actually, I don't exactly know, but I had taken off, the lug nut, and what ended up happening was you can actually see, like when you took it off, you know, I put a very, very slight coating of anti-seize when I use aluminum lug nuts. And the reason is because aluminum lug nuts, you should probably use for any lug nut, but the reason is because you have different materials, right? Your stud is made out of a different metal than your lug nut. So when you mate those two together, whenever you mate two different metals together, there's the potential for some corrosion to happen. So anti-seize usually will keep that lug nut from becoming bound up or whatever on the car. Now, the opposite of that, the other things that you have to be careful with that is if you've ever built any engines or put head studs in on anything like that, when you apply Moly lube or when you tighten with oil, so Moly lube versus oil, you will have a different amount of torque required to reach the same clamping force. Right. Because if you use the same amount of clamping force, but one is actually, you know, it has a lot less friction, you essentially could reach that yield point of the stud or bolt or whatever it is quicker.
Okay.
Now, if you're an engineer and you're watching this, don't roast me. I did my best to explain that. And I would imagine...
Roast him in the comments below.
Right. I would imagine that... I don't know if I gave you a very scientific explanation, but it's pretty close to the big picture of it. So just keep in mind what, you know, when you're using a lug nut and doing different things like that, that there's a fatigue thing. And, you know, the same way we've talked about inspecting wheels, I think inspecting lug nuts, if you're going to be taking wheels on and off the car repeatedly, you know, over a season, over a year, you know, or you're going to keep your hardware for multiple years, right. It's something actually that's pretty valid. And so, all right, so we talked about lug nuts not being equal. So let's talk about, when we talk about clamping, when we talk about this thread engagement, what could potentially create an issue where you don't have enough thread engagement, right?
Okay.
Why don't you want to kick it off?
Should we start with the obvious one? Spacers?
Yeah, you could yeah. do that. That's one. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, so if you go to wheel spacer, and you know, it's too thick or it takes too much away, that's one thing that could potentially lead you to not have the proper thread engagement.
Right.
The workaround for this is either extended lugs or getting wheel spacers with studs in them. Mm-hmm. So that way you can still maintain the proper thread engagement and still run your spacer. Now, Koenig doesn't endorse spacers. But
yeah, there's a really valid reason for that.
Do you want to touch on that?
Sure.
Or...
Yeah, so one of the reasons that we don't endorse spacers, and I think people sometimes get the wrong idea when we say it. I mean, in a lot of our videos, we said we do not endorse the use of spacers and a lot of these things. So it's giving a connotation to spacers when we say that almost implies that we think using them is wrong. And that's not necessarily what we mean by we can't endorse spacers. Right. What we mean when we can't endorse spacers is that there are a lot of variables that we absolutely cannot attest to.
Account
there's
for.
Different quality spacers. There's different manufacturer spacers. There's different hardware. There's different materials and spacers. They're not all using the same metals. There's different fitment issues. And then there's proper installation. All of these things create a multitude of variables that we cannot just sum up and cover by saying the word spacer.
Right.
So one of the things, you know, we have to do, and then the last point would obviously be then there's the fitment thing. Usually if you're putting on a spacer, there's a possibility that you are making the car too aggressive than what we would technically declare fits.
Right.
Right. But that doesn't mean that spacers, if they're a good quality, the proper fit, they've, you know, you figured out a way to maintain hub centricity. If you've, you know, again, using quality spacer, you have the correct fitment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, doesn't mean that they could not be used correctly and those types of things. So we've put our disclaimer on this whole thing. That's what it's all about. We're just saying, hey, look, it's not our products. We don't know anything about them. It's not our products. We don't endorse them. We don't use them.
Right.
You know, for our product to say, this is how you make the wheel fit. None of that stuff. So that's why we say we don't endorse them. So what Nick's basically saying is when you put a spacer onto a vehicle, if you put, let's say we have a stud, okay? We have a stud sticking out. I wish I had a bolt. I should have brought a bolt with me. But let's say you have a stud.
I still have the spacers.
You know, if we remember, and I won't hold you to it, but if we remember, maybe we'll put an illustration in that I have from AutoCAD or something.
Okay.
But so basically what happens here is if you have a stud that's coming through like the hub, like let's make sure that this looks terrible. But if you have something that's coming through the hub here, and you have, let's say 24 inches of thread here, and you put on a wheel that has a 10 millimeter mounting pad. Okay. So now here's where, now you start to run wild with variables. Right? The first thing we're talking about is, all right, 24 millimeters of protrusion on the stud. We just used 10 for the wheel, right? So now we're down to 14.
Right.
You have it. Let's assume that stud's 12 millimeter to give ourselves, you know, enough room here.
Okay.
So we have 14. We need 12. So right there, we have an extra 2 millimeters of space to work with.
Okay.
Put a 5 millimeter spacer on, you technically are right at that point where you will not get proper thread engagement. So that's what we mean by spacers, you know, can cause a lot of issues. People put spacers on cars all the time. Oh, it's only a 5 mil. It's only a 3 mil. And yes, they turn the lug nut and it holds the wheel on the car. And yes, for the most part, you may see that they don't have any issues. But are they lacking thread engagement? Absolutely.
Right.
Right? Now let's couple that and say, let's throw another variable in there that can cause issue. Let's say you're using an aluminum lug nut. Let's say you've had them on the car for multiple years. You've taken your wheels off a bunch. You have some fatigue in the threads. some of the threads aren't there. You don't know about it. Again, what I was going with when I put the anti-seize on the lug nut is I don't know where that lug nut lost some thread, but I know that when I took the lug nut off the car, I saw some in the anti-seize that was coated onto the stud. I saw some aluminum thread particles. So I'm losing the thread. I don't know where from. That's a good sign for me that I'm going to get rid of those lug nuts.
Right. Because now you have even less, because now you've worn down those threads, so you have even less thread engagement than you originally started out using this example with already less than you were supposed to have.
Right, and it's just not a calculated thing. So what I'm saying is, let's create this situation. You have a 24 millimeter long stud. You have a wheel with a 10 millimeter mounting pad. You have to get 12 millimeters engagement. You put a 5 millimeter spacer on, and then you use an aluminum racing lug nut because you want it to look good or be lightweight or whatever your condition is that you brought you to use that lug nut.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you can easily find yourself in a very catastrophic situation if a failure was to occur.
Right. So now let's can we just define a failure? So what exactly would be a failure? Would
the most catastrophic failure would be that the wheel comes off the car.
Yeah, so the lug nuts themselves are breaking off of the stud and coming or coming loose. In a fatigue, I'd imagine it's a lot easier for them to actually break off the stud. But if there's not enough there, then they'll vibrate loose.
Well, no, not necessarily. When we talk about a failure, I would say most of the time what happens is, like, especially if you're in a lateral position where you're into a corner or a turn real hard, you're racing on it, you're, really have some weight transfer that's pulling up on that wheel. Because remember, when you dive into a corner or go into a turn, the weight transfer of the vehicle changes.
Right.
Right. So if that was to happen and then you were already putting – you didn't have as many threads – on the lug nut, or they were already starting to fatigue, or you were already starting to have issues where, those lug nuts were at the point where they're using less threads than they should. Now all of a sudden, all the clamping force for the wheel and everything is translating to only those few threads that you have in there, not the entire amount that you want.
Right.
And you essentially could have an issue there. Now, there are some ways around this whole thing. We're jumping ahead a little bit. So the first one is spacers was one thing that would cause you to lose thread engagement.
Right.
Right. And so, look, if you're going to be using spacers, again, we don't endorse them and we explained why, but just make sure you have enough. And if you glazed over the part of this podcast where we explained how to do it, go watch the video. It's only like 5 minutes long, and it will show you exactly, what kind of things you need to make sure you have the proper thread engagement.
Right.
Another thing, not all wheels have the same mounting pad thickness on a wheel.
Right.
So
for example, like your stock one, obviously definitely has it. But if you change up your wheels and you get something with a much thicker mounting pad, then you could potentially lose that much space. Almost similar to if you have a spacer, because now you have more taking up the limited amount of space you have on your lug nut.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, now most wheels are going to be in a very common range. They're going to be somewhere between 8 and 10 millimeters. And when they're in the thicker part, if you have a car that requires that you're not getting enough thread engagement, sometimes you can make it up by using a different type of lug nut called an ET lug nut. It's actually you've probably seen it before. It's a lug nut that actually is a shank that extends and it gets narrower. So you can actually thread through the lug hole of the wheel to engage more stud.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it only works if the lug hole on the wheel actually is large enough to accept that ET lug nut to pass through it. For example, you have a 12 millimeter stud and the hole of the wheel is 13 millimeters. Not going to happen. The hole of the wheel is 14 millimeters. Not going to really happen. You know what I mean? Like, so it's close, but the point I'm trying to make is that, there are some situations where even an ET lug nut may not be capable of making it through the lug hole area to allow you to use it.
Right.
So we talked about wheel thickness. We talked about the spacers. And, I mean, for the most part, that's going to be the predominant number of things. There are a few different variables that probably could cause you to not have enough thread engagement. But it's an extremely simple thing to be able to check. And it's an extremely simple thing to know if you have not enough of or if it's in danger. Right. And I think it's something that gets overlooked because, you know, a lot of times what ends up happening is you buy those new wheels and tires, you throw them onto the car, you made sure you had the right lug nuts as far as cone seat or whatever. You throw, you know, people are always changing their stance, throwing spacers on, doing different things. They got bought the set of wheels. You know, they don't realize that some cars have different length studs or bolts.
Right.
And then they go ahead and bolt the thing on the car. And you know, they're able to get proper torque. Right, they're able to get, you know, what feels like the lug nut went on, and then they're able to torque it down, yeah, so they think the wheel's tight. On tight, we're good. But, you know,
that's not the case.
There is another piece of this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually addressed that in the video. Also, we mentioned that how like some manufacturers make their cars with shorter studs than others. Yeah. So, you know, two cars can have the exact same wheel, and you know although the mounting thickness on the wheel is the same, you know, let's say for a Toyota, for example, that tend to have shorter studs, like you might not get the same clamping force if you use the same thread on it. So right. it's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, Toyota Lexus are notorious for having shorter studs. So, you know, it's something that, you know, to keep in mind and just make sure. I think some of the Hondas have some shorter studs and some of the Nissans as well.
Right.
You know, the good thing is if you have a European car and you use a lug bolt, there's so many different size lug bolts. And if you are a European guy, you know, you've come up to that point before where you're like, which size bolt do I need to order? Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a real easy way to figure that out, which we're not going to go into now. But, you know, bottom line is, if you really want to know that, comment below. But for the most part, I think what we're talking about here is just to ensure that you have enough. It really is. There's some things we talk about and we say, oh, this is important, this is important, this is important. Yeah, like it's important to make sure that your big brakes fit your wheels before you put them on. But the good news is when you put the wheels onto the car, then the brakes are too big. You'll know
immediately.
Right. But with thread engagement, it's hard to tell. You could have that false sense of reality. You could have that false sense of security thinking everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be, little to know that you don't have nearly as much clamping and nearly as much thread engagement as you actually would be required to ensure safety there, right? Yeah.
Right.
So that's pretty much the deal. What else should we go through here? So the one thing we didn't really touch on that we need to touch on is, and it will be the last point, I guess, is how do you gain thread engagement if you don't have enough right now, right? So, I mean, obviously the first one is if you can afford to take the spacers off the car and you have spacers on your car, that's a pretty good one. With Toyota and Lexuses and different things, if your wheel has the provisions for it, again, if you don't know, talk to a wheel and tire professional. You might be able to go with an ET lug nut, which would actually, you know, go deeper onto the shank. Another way is you can make sure that the hardware you're using the threads start right at the bottom of the lug nut. And if you're not sure what I mean by this, go over to our YouTube channel and click on the thread engagement video and watch it. We actually put a really good close-up two different types of lug nuts. One where there's actually almost like a millimeter or a millimeter and a half
of nothing, you know, kind of before getting to the thread.
Yeah, and they do that on purpose. That's not like just a faulty design. That's actually it allows you to be able to get the lug nuts started without stripping the threads much easier, right? Lug nuts that start off the bottom. you know, it's really great because you'll have the maximum amount of thread engagement on that particular hardware. But
you can start twisting, and if you're off, you'll start stripping it. At least if the ones that have the space on the bottom, you can push it on,
get you centered.
And it centers you out, and then that way you already know, like, all right, I'm centered, and then you can you can start twisting with no not as much worry.
No, right. So and the problem is if you like, and usually this. I've preached this for a long time. When you thread on a lug nut, what you want to do is you want to get it started by hand. I go as far to almost thread them by hand almost all the way down. The wheel.
I get the wheel centered. Right. Yep. So
I get the wheel centered and I do the quick triangle where by my hand where it's tight. I know the wheel's not moving anymore.
Right. Yeah, I do it. So I'll start off with just that, and then I'll put the socket on it, and then just start twisting the socket with my hand. And then once I know it's down or it's good enough, maybe I'll impact it just to bring it down. And then once I know they're all tightened, I'll use the breaker or the torque wrench or whatever.
Yeah, that's right about the time. Once you get it down like that, you want to be able to use a torque wrench properly, torque the wheel down to the car. So we talked about you could possibly use a different type of lug nut. We could take a spacer off the car if you don't need it to clear brakes or something like that, and you have you don't have enough thread engagement. If you need to run a spacer, and again, we don't endorse them, but if you need to run a spacer and you have the room, running an adapter or a spacer with the studs in it is a good option because it gives you a fresh point. It spaces the wheel out and gives you a fresh point to grab onto the stud from.
Right.
New set of studs.
So here's an interesting point, and I actually just kind of thought about this. Let's say you decided to run a staggered setup on your car. Using the Miata, for example, because I know the Miata is the same offset all around. So let's say you decided to use a staggered offset. Some wheels with lower offsets... don't some wheels have the offset change in the mounting pad where they'll have a thicker mounting pad to get the lower offset to push the wheel out?
Yeah, but that shouldn't change your pad depth. And the reason is because what they would do is if the wheel does all the offset change in the pad, what they would do is they would put there's two holes on a lug nut. The first hole is the face hole, and the second hole would be the actual hole for the stud or for the lug bolt.
Right.
And so what they would do is they would actually drive the face hole in deeper into the wheel before they would start the taper seat.
Gotcha.
And then drive the hole in. So a manufacturer typically will always maintain
the same pad thickness.
Pad thickness from the bottom of the taper of the lug nut to the back of the mount back of the wheel there.
Gotcha.
So and then the final point that I would bring to you about gaining thread engagement, and this is usually where they come into play, especially for the guys that are on the track, motorsport guys, etc., is extended studs,
right,
and or longer lug bolts. And this is one of the methods I use. I use them on. It has given me an incredible amount of flexibility in over the years as I change different wheels on the car and do different things. It's given me a credible amount of flexibility to be able to, if I decide to run a hub-centric spacer or something like that, I never have to worry about thread engagement. I always have plenty of it, right? Right.
And you can run, you're currently running your wheels without any spacers. So you don't just need extended studs to run spacers. Like you can run them and still run.
No, you just need to have an open-ended lug nut.
right. So that way it doesn't get caught at the end and it could just go through.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't put extended lug studs in the extended studs and then put a closed ended lug nut on it because you'll bottom out on the lug nut before you ever get it tight. And if it's one of those situations where you're actually close, that wheel's gonna wobble off that car real fast.
Yeah, you won't be able to tell.
Right, exactly. So there's those things, but over the years, and I'll tell you one more benefit of this is totally another topic, but one more benefit of using an extended stud is that you're putting a fresh set of studs into a car. Now, if you buy a car that's 10, 12, 15 years old, and you've taken the wheels off quite a decent number of times,
those studs, you know, listen, studs are have dealing a fatigue with a lot rate. Of, yeah, they're getting a lot of wear and tear on them, you know, just right. taking them on and off the car.
Yep. And sometimes what you'll actually see is that over the course of time, the actual stud itself will stretch. It starts to yield. And that's usually what causes them to snap.
Yeah, I've snapped a couple of them. It's not fun, you know, especially if you have to drive, you know, to the parts store to go pick it up, driving around on two studs.
Well, that's bad. Don't do that. Don't drive around on two studs. But yeah, so I think so. There's this other variable, which is, all right, look, you know, I have a car that's been X amount of old. I've taken wheels on and off, or, you know, over the years we have. So putting in a fresh set of quality extended studs or new studs gives you a really fresh starting point.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, I will say this. Some cars are really difficult to do them on. Some cars are really a nightmare. But there's a lot of cars that are really easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's as simple as sometimes, you know, as, you know, literally smacking them out, putting the new ones in and tightening a, you know, lug nut, or, you know, they have these special tools that actually, you know, stud installation tools, where it's like a big seat, a big washer that essentially with a taper that allows you to drive, you put that over the stud, and then you just use a lug nut and an impact gun to pull it
to
through.
Pull it, yeah. Seat it.
So, So, I mean, there's a lot of things there. Again, do your homework, do your research. I think that there's a lot of things here that, you know, that we provide you in these podcasts that, and we really don't go for the sell hardly ever, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of information here that, you know, you spend 10, 15 minutes with us, on the podcast, and you walk away with knowledge that could potentially help you and your friends for life.
Right.
And I know I maybe sold the podcast a little bit more, but that was our intention when we started this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Our intention was to bring a decent value. And listen, you know, you may be watching this now and never even think of it, and all of a sudden the next time you go to bolt your wheels on,
you're going to start thinking about this podcast. Enough.
Right. And you may find something in here that we said and you're like, you know what, let me get this corrected. And you may have saved yourself from not only a lot of aggravation, but maybe some serious damage.
Absolutely.
Or worse. So so I really do hope that, you know, us taking the time to do some of this stuff, because, like, even right now, I mean, listen, it's, you know, we're not in the office. So,
but we're still making it work.
Right. So anyhow, you have anything else you want to add to this thing? You want to?
No, that was it. Aside from, you know, if you're watching this on Wednesday, we will be live at 3 p.m. Answering questions.
Yep.
Whether or not Scott and I will both be in there, we still haven't decided yet. Still working that out.
Yeah, we haven't really figured it out.
We'll figure something out. But
that's true.
But yeah,
and we have a new piece of content coming dropping on Friday.
Friday.
Every Friday, we're trying to bring you a new piece of content. So if you are not. I've seen some more people subscribing to our channel, so I appreciate that a great deal.
Yeah, I noticed that also.
And if you have it, like I said, we love the comments and the feedback. So if you have any of that stuff, or if you have any topics that you would like us to genuinely tackle or touch, or even some whatever, let us know. I mean, we're happy to, you know, put that stuff in and start to consider it. And there's been more than a few people that have reached out to us with some solid suggestions, and we're working on it.
Right.
Yeah. So... I guess that's it for this one. We will catch you back here next Wednesday. We hope that everybody's safe and happy, and hopefully this thing passes soon, and nobody and you and your loved ones and friends don't have any illness issues from this thing. So that's it. We will catch you back here next Wednesday. Again, make sure you head over to our YouTube channel if you're not already, and throw us that thumbs up and subscribe. I guess till next time, we'll catch you later. Peace out.